This We Love Telly podcast is a Mirror Digital production. Hello and welcome to the We Love Telly podcast. I'm Rob Lee, and joining me this week will be Sunday Mirror TV critic Kevin O'Sullivan, who will be discussing Made in Chelsea and Structured Reality. And also with us is Tony Stewart, soap expert, discussing all the shiz that's going down in Soapland. Plus, we've got Jennifer Roger and Sarah Wallace with us to discuss the new Kate Winslet starrer, Mildred Pierce, and some other bits and bobs. And, crucially, and I know you're looking forward to this, we've got our still untitled reverse theme tune competition where you can win some stuff just by identifying the reverse theme tune. Joining us now is Sunday Mirror TV critic Kevin O'Sullivan. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Rob.
So it was the last show in the season of Made in Chelsea last night, and you must have been totes gutted that Kagi and Spencer didn't get together, yeah?
Well, you know, I was weeping, sobbing, you know, along with millions of others. Spencer made that heartbreak dash to the airport, but just missed Kagi, who was setting off for a new life in New York with a handbag full of her worldly goods. You know, if you think that's really what happened, then you need to re-educate yourself, because, you know, the thing about these programs, structured reality, what that means, translation, structured reality translates as the producers make it up. So basically that was all staged, clearly choreographed, and, you know, I just don't think that posh people work all that well on any kind of reality telly. And Made in Chelsea, compared with The Only Way Is Essex, is really, really dull. And that's saying something.
So that's a world exclusive, structured reality. It's not real. But does that matter? I mean, it's still entertaining, isn't it?
Well, I think it's slightly absurd. I mean, I know I'm not the generation it's aimed at. You know, it's aimed at people who are basically fetuses, you know, who are on Twitter and Facebook, and who will no doubt invest in the exciting new range of clothes that The Only Way Is Essex is launching.
Mm-hmm.
So that's who it's aimed at. But it does seem to me to be pretty damned absurd that basically we're watching these people playing out what's supposed to be their real lives, but it's not their real lives. It's what the producers tell them to do. You know, okay, it's fine. There's a form of entertainment there, I can see. But it does make me... I'm surprised that people aren't a little more questioning of it.
So the central problem for Made in Chelsea is that it was about posh knobs.
I don't think it's essentially a problem. I mean, there's nothing wrong with making television programs about posh people. But there's something about the way posh people come across on these type of programs. Mm-hmm. They just seem infinitely more boring than the people on The Only Way Is Essex. And I don't know what the explanation for this is, but they are terrible actors. I mean, The Only Way Is Essex people could not act their way out of a paper bag. But compared to the Made in Chelsea mob, they are Oliviers, you know. Made in Chelsea, the cast are just appalling.
Mm-hmm.
And when they structure these scenes, they die a terrible death, because these moronic upper-class idiots cannot seem to give them any emotion. They cannot invest anything of themselves.
And I think it's hard for an audience to invest in them when they know there's no consequence there. I mean, Kagi can bugger off to New York, but she could come back at any time. There's no real tension there, is there?
Exactly. Although we've come to expect that in these kind of programs, the acting is absolutely abysmal, when it gets to a certain level of awfulness that the Made in Chelsea crowd manage, you think, well, why should I invest any of my emotion in these dramas, these alleged dramas,
mm-hmm.
when the people in them aren't putting any of their own emotions in it? You know, it's sort of wooden to the point of petrified forest.
Mm-hmm.
And it, for me, it doesn't work. I mean, I can just about get worked up. Well, I wouldn't say that. I could just about get involved with some of the Only Way Is Essex dramas. But I can't get myself going on them. Made in Chelsea. I mean, the same goes for Geordie Shore, which I really rather enjoy.
So taking the reality aspect of structured reality, what does, if drama has moved on now, what does that bear for, consequence does it bear for the likes of Big Brother when it's going to be coming back this summer?
Well, certainly there's got to be a question mark over the idea of bringing back Big Brother, because when Big Brother died, what was it, a year or so ago,
mm-hmm.
all of us in our business were going, well, I wonder what will replace it. We didn't know, but what we did know is something would come along. You know, basically showbiz very, very rarely goes backwards. So if you say, oh my God, you know, that show used to get 7 million, why don't we bring it back, then we'll get 7 million again, mm-hmm. you will discover that there's a thing called the law of diminishing returns. You won't get it. And you do sort of fear for what will happen with Big Brother now that it has been so comprehensively replaced by the thing that came along that we didn't know what it was, but it turned out to be structured reality. That's what the kids are watching now. You know, the 16 to the 24s, or I think probably the 10s to the 24s. They're watching it. They're tweeting. They're on Facebook about it. It's a force. It's a massive force.
So if Big Brother has anything to learn, it's got to learn about how the kids, as it were, interact now. So they've got to learn from Facebook and Twitter. Is that right, would you say?
I think so. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how Big Brother gets on with what it didn't have during its heyday, i.e. Twitter. So Twitter, I think, will fan the flames of interest. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the people who watch Big Brother will be like the people who go to Take That concerts. You know, they love to Take That in the early 90s or the mid-90s. And when they reformed, they now go and see it. They sort of recapture their youth. So Big Brother might get this kind of superannuated audience that used to love it when they were sort of 15 and now they're 25, mm-hmm. 30. And the Twitter thing may help. But you do sort of wonder whether it can deal with the competition from these ever-increasingly important structured realities.
So it's a nostalgia rerun. Well, we'll just have to see whether people in 10 years' time are getting all nostalgic about Made in Chelsea. I don't think that's going to happen. Thank you very much for joining us, Kevin. We'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Rob.
Thank you. Talking telly with us now are We Love Telly's Jennifer Roger. Hello, Jennifer.
Hi, Rob.
And Sarah Wallace. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
So, picking a sensationalist show title at random, let's go with, Sarah, let's talk about Babies Behind Bars on ITV. Or should that be Babies Behind Bars?
Yeah, it's set in America, so it should have that dramatic intonation. It's not little babies in, you know, orange jumpsuits or anything, but it's women in Indiana women's prison, and hundreds of babies are born in prison every year. Uh-huh. So normally they're taken away from their mums within 24 hours, but there's a controversial scheme that allows some of the women to keep their babies with them in mm-hmm. jail as long as they're not completely violent or in for murder or anything like that.
And is it as worthy of the rubbernecking and the gawping as it sounds, or is it a proper, like, serious documentary?
It's half and half. It's a bit voyeuristic. It's, you know, answers to our desire for gawping at Americans and just saying, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. But it's a documentary as well. It's fascinating.
So it's not quite so sensational it should be on Channel 5 or anything like that.
Well, if it was on Channel 5, it would have to be something like Crack Babies Behind Bars, wouldn't it?
Wow, Rob? Just ramp up those levels there.
Yeah, well, you know, it is, can I just clarify, just Babies Behind Bars.
Okay,
ITV, very serious.
Behind Bars. Okay, that sounds quite fun and happy. Let's talk about something that's actually supposed to be quite fun and happy. Jennifer, let's talk about Sirens. Is it like Holby City with laughs then?
I think that'll be a fair description of it. It's a comedy drama which follows paramedics in Leeds, ambulance drivers. But the tone is very much set with the opening scenes, which begins with the famous Neighbours tune, Suddenly, by Angry Anderson. Do you mm-hmm. know it, Rob?
No, I don't know. How does that go, Jennifer? How does that go, that tune?
Suddenly I'm feeling...
Carry on.
Yeah.
Do you not remember it?
I'm too young.
It was the wedding of Charlene and Scott. They got married to this song, which shot to the top of the charts.
Mm-hmm. I cried. So, did you not cry when you watched that?
I think I was so young that I don't remember watching.
Can I just interrupt here? How does this relate to Sirens?
Sorry. So this plays in the opening scenes, which is actually at the scene of a horrific car crash, mm. which is followed very quickly by the lead character, paramedic Stuart, doing open-heart surgery on the patient. So it's this kind of strange juxtaposition of a rather funny song over a very serious incident, and mm-hmm. that basically sets the tone for the drama, kind of oddball mix of comedy and serious incidents.
So comedy, drama, like a black comedy? Is it like Green Wing, for instance? Or?
It's like Green Wing, but much less surreal, so therefore a lot easier to watch. It's a major Channel 4 drama. I say give it a go.
And talking about Neighbours, as we very briefly were there, an actor that used to be in Neighbours, Guy Pearce, has resurfaced in new Sky Atlantic show Mildred Pearce. Now, what's all this about? Oh, Kate Winslet's in it as well. She's probably the biggest star, isn't she, really? But
there's been a lot of hype about this. This is the set in 1930s Depression hit America, and it's basically about a mum, single mum, not quite so widely accepted as it is now, struggling to raise her spoiled cow of a daughter, basically.
The mum's played by Kate Winslet, who does a brilliant performance. Obviously, we're used to seeing her on the big screen.
Is this a Kate Winslet extravaganza? Is it all very, very serious?
It's
and very
epic.
Worthy.
It's epic. It's Sky Atlantic. It's epic. You know, they're into doing these lengthy
film quality dramas.
Yeah. And did you enjoy it, Jennifer?
I have to say that I was slightly distracted from properly engaging in it by all the adverts. I think if it was a film and I was stuck there, I think it would have been a different beast. But the problem is it's quite slow.
Sky Atlantic do these very big series like Game of Thrones, and they show things like that. But so it doesn't work, you don't think?
It didn't work for me. I'm going to give it... The first episode was the Saturday just gone, so I think it's well worth tuning in for the second episode. It is a five-part series, and the character will develop, and she will go from single mum to successful businesswoman to a very exciting dynamic with her daughter. So I do think it's worth sticking with.
You say exciting dynamic, but just to take you on a little bit, it sounds fairly dull, really. Dull but worthy. And if you didn't last the first episode, why should I bother with the second one?
You didn't, did you?
I lasted for some of the first episode.
How many minutes?
I would say it was somewhere around the 20 minute.
20
if you include the adverts, probably about half an hour.
Great, okay. Well, we won't talk about the adverts. Well, this has all been very jolly Depression era America, open heart surgery and small children that are imprisoned. But, okay, let's round this off now with something quick that's going to jolt us up. What must we see? What's going on? What's a must-see thing this week?
Watch Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares USA tonight, 10 o'clock, Channel 4, for lots of shouting and anger from Gordon Ramsay, which
okay,
we
well,
love.
We wanted jolly, but I'll take that
we'll
as jolly.
That,
if that's your best
do.
Jolly option, I'll take that as jolly. Thank you very much, Sarah. Thank you very much, Jennifer.
Thanks, Bob.
If you have the capacity... Right now is the best time to switch your ears to Reverse, which will make this Reverse theme tune competition all that much more easier. Or you could just listen and identify that way. Whatever works for you, I'm happy with that. So listen to the theme tune and then tweet your answer to @WeLoveTelly. This is a Twitter-based competition, @WeLoveTelly. And then you could might win some stuff, you know, some stuff we've got lying about. That's great. Nobody knows soaps like Tony Stewart knows soaps, which is quite lucky as we've got Tony Stewart with us now to talk soaps. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Rob.
So it's all gone a bit The Graduate in Yorkshire this week, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. You know, Mrs. Robinson, otherwise known as Ella, and her toy boy Adam, finally found out by husband Declan. He's not too pleased, to such an extent that he grabs her around the throat and decides to throttle her for... It's a kind of a curious situation because you don't actually... It's his ex-wife. They are divorced. They recently... He did a surprise 20th anniversary party. The surprise being they're not married, so there wasn't a 20th anniversary to celebrate. Anyway, Ella, she's quite a vicious character. I'm not sure that I like Corinne Wicks very much, actually, as an actress. She's a bit hard-faced. There's more, you know, Anne Bancroft in the original role of Mrs. Robinson in The Graduate. She had a bit of a nasty streak to her as well, and I think Corinne's just not imitating that a bit too far, and you don't really feel very much sympathy for her. But anyway, she tells Adam that... now that they're splitting up, he has to finish with her daughter, Mia. And of course, Declan's a bit curious. Why is Adam finished with Mia? Then suddenly, when Ella goes on another one of her drunken rampages, she lets slip that, in fact, she's been bedding Adam as well. And he's not entirely pleased with that.
Well, as you say, he throttles her.
He does. He attempts to throttle her.
And from throttle to the bottle, there's a couple of birthday parties being celebrated in the Rovers this week in Corrie. Let's talk about the one where Ken Barlow isn't dancing with a stripper.
Can't we talk about Ken Barlow dancing with a stripper? It's amazing.
This is not a visual medium. If we could see him dancing, it'd be wonderful, but it's best left for the telly.
Okay, well, we'll leave it for the telly, but the big surprise party in the Rovers is when Stella decides to throw a 30th birthday party for Leanne. And the surprise, as has been in Corrie in the past, isn't that it's a 32nd or a 28th birthday mm-hmm. party. Remember, they threw I think it was a 50th for Gail, and she was only 49. She wasn't very pleased about that. But anyway, this is genuinely Leanne's 30th. But why is Stella so keen to throw a party for her? Well, because for 29 and a half years, from what we can calculate, Stella has been the absent mother of Leanne. So it is quite a shock to all concerned, not least of all Leanne, who's a bit surprised that a former character from EastEnders is actually her mum.
And how does she react?
Badly. She's not very pleased because she was basically dumped and when she was a nipper.
Dumped with a Battersby's, no less.
Yeah, and well, kind of, but don't forget, Les Battersby is the dad. Whatever happens, he is the dad. And so it's kind of quite an admission from Stella that she's slept with Les Battersby. There are not many people that would admit that willingly. When you look at Janice and then Godzilla, you know, who now sadly left the show, who are two brilliant characters. But he had quite a tasty blonde back in the day. Back in the day, of course, when he was still going around following, he was always a bit of a status quo groupie. So he had a thing for blondes, Rick Parfitt being one of them, and Stella being the other.
Well, sticking with Stella, she must have had a few when she slept with Les. But sticking with Stella, there's been quite a lot of backlash against Michelle Collins's accent, hasn't there?
Yeah, that's kind of... I don't know what to believe, you know, the cast are criticising a southerner for not being able to talk northern very well. Well, quite often, I'm from the north of England, but quite often I'm criticised by northerners for not having a northern accent. Whereas most southerners who might be listening to this would go, well, he's northern, I can tell that in his voice.
So let's just clarify, are the Coronation Street criticising you for your accents?
No. They don't listen to me, do they? They only read me.
No, they listen to you as well, Tony. They all listen to this podcast.
Well, I should hope they bloody well do. But anyway, yes, it seems like, you know, the kind of knives are out. I think when I originally discussed Michelle Collins going into Corrie, I said there was a lot of sort of an insider from another soap, actually, who used to be involved with Coronation Street, told me that he'd heard, you know, there was quite a lot of resistance to her joining Corrie because she is the biggest star from another soap mm-hmm. that has ever crossed over to the other side. So, of course, you know, she can't talk northern like us lads. So unless she's wearing a flat cap and leading whippets round and has a loft full of pigeons, she'll never win, really, will she?
Well, Tony's far too diplomatic himself, but it sounds like the jury is still out a little bit on Michelle Collins. But thank you very much for joining us this week, Tony Stewart.
Hey up, lad, no problem.
Thanks for joining me on the We Love Telly podcast. I'm Rob Lee. Come back and listen next week, okay? This We Love Telly podcast is a Mirror Digital production.